Sure, I can keep track of my schedule on the computer, I can make appointments on my iPhone, but I prefer a wall calendar I can see every day.
It's an annual tradition, and the 2018 wall calendar from Insight for Living Ministries is ready at insight.org.
My time is precious, and this calendar provides a positive place to manage my time wisely.
The theme for 2018 is My Little Children Love One Another. With colorful photographs that illustrate expressions of Christian love, the calendar is designed to uplift your perspective every day. And each month features a Bible verse that celebrates Christian love.
In 1 John 3:18, we read, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions."
The 2018 calendar from your friends at Insight for Living Ministries. My Little Children Love One Another. Get your copy today by going to insight.org. You've heard the old saying, hindsight is 20/20. Sure, it's easy to look back on the past and view our mistakes with absolute clarity. Had we only known then what we know now. But life doesn't work that way, does it? And every single day represents another occasion to step forward in faith. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our biographical study on Abraham. Imagine living this patriarch's life in real time. His mandate was clear, but the future was uncertain. Think about the courage it required as he stepped out in faith, going, not knowing.
Today we're looking at two different sections, one in the Old Testament, Genesis 12. And if you've not already noticed, we're skipping over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we're looking at three verses there. So I'll read for you the Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10 section first, and then we'll look together at Genesis 12, verse 1. May we stand together for the reading of this section of the Word of God. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And then the section in Genesis chapter 12, let me read verses 1 and then 4 through 6. 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you." Verse 4. So Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his nephew, and all their possessions which they had accumulated, and the persons which they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. May the Lord make us aware of this ancient life and especially the relevance of it as we are living our lives today.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download the Searching the Scriptures studies. by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Going, Not Knowing.
Should you be living where you are now living? Should you be doing in your work what you are now doing in your work? Are you exactly where God would have you be? And are you doing what God would have you do? You know, just asking those simple questions shakes some of you up. Unless you're the pioneer type, but most of us are settlers. Pioneers have adventure tied to their hip. They love the enthusiasm and excitement of the unknown. They love exploring. They love going in an area where they've never been before. They welcome change and they enjoy adjusting to a whole new set of circumstances. If you're a pioneer, you welcome change. If you're a settler, kind of gives you the willies, makes you uneasy. Most people are creatures of habit. You say, well, I don't know about that, Chuck. I'm not sure that's true of me. Well, do you like the same food? You usually go to the same restaurant? When's the last time you said, let's just go there, just to try it out? Some of you are looking at me like, what's wrong with you? You like living in the same home. You enjoy the same neighbors. You even have the same car, if not the same. You've got one just like the one you had before. People tend to buy brands. Cynthia's family was raised with Fords. When I started dating her, I thought, Fords, oh brother. Because our family was raised with Chevys. Except on one occasion, my father decided to be a pioneer. And so we needed another car. We didn't have enough money for a new one, so he went out and bought one that was used, a green Hudson Hornet. My mother, who was waiting on the back porch when he drove in to park it at our little carport out back, stood there with her apron around her waist. And I remember her very words, most of which I'm able to share with you today. Earl, Earl, what is that? He said, honey, it's a hornet. She said, it looks like a roach. I'm not riding in a car that looks like a roach and is named after an insect. But she did. We got used to it. But she rather often said, I sure miss the old Chevy. Oh, we like driving to work the same way. Have you noticed? When's the last time you said, I'm just going to try a whole creative route? I think I'm going to not take the tollway. I'm going to go off to the surface roads and see what this area looks like. Are you kidding me? You think, how quick can I get there? What's worked for me before? You even like the same kind of clothing. I know. I look at you every Sunday. You like the same schedule day after day. You don't like stuff thrown in that messes up your schedule. We like personal things. You notice you get dressed the same way? Try putting your other leg in your pants on first tomorrow. You'll be so confused you won't know what shoe to pick up to put on what foot. We even put the same shoe on the same foot regularly every day. We like what we eat for breakfast. We don't change that. We like going to the same grocery store. Why, we even like sitting in the same seat at church. Oh, there you are. Some of you wonder how I knew you weren't here last Sunday. Your seat was empty. My mom and dad always sat in the same seat at the same church year after year. I remember as a little kid walking in the back door with them. My mom was holding my hand, and they stopped. Ah! They looked down. There were visitors there that day sitting in their seat. And my mother said to my dad, Earl, what do you think we ought to do? There were 2,000 other seats you could choose from, not those two. And he said, well, Lovell, I think we ought to go home. And we turned around and we went home. Why? Because my mom and dad were settlers. They weren't pioneers. We don't like unexpected moves. We certainly don't like unexpected babies, even though all of us have one or two. We don't like unexpected demotions from work. We don't like the unexpected pink slip. Of course not. We don't like unexpected events, good or evil. We like it the same way. Face it. We all like stuff to stay the same. The problem is, God doesn't. Oh, boy. So now we're faced with his favorite technique. You know what it is? Surprises. That's right. Some of you are ready to leave right now. You hear that, you think, I don't know that I can sit through this. Because you don't like surprises. You got your life all fixed. You like where you live. You got your house paid for. You wish. You are enjoying your car and your family, and you like all of that together, and you may not be there 6 months from now. Then again, you may be there for the rest of your life. I don't know. Just because he likes surprises doesn't mean he moves every one of us every 6 months, but it means he will move some of us. You may be one of them. You may not be living where you should live. I had a man visiting our first morning worship service today, stopped me right over here to the side. He said, Chuck, we don't know each other. First time visitor, and I'm actually on my way. He said, I've been struggling with a move. He said, I just feel I need to move back to Boston. And I said, are you some kind of nut? No. You know what I said to him? Are you sure of that? He says, you know what? Eyes kind of bubbled with tears. And he said, I am. I said, get going. Need to be there. You work this out with the Lord? Oh, yeah. He says, in fact, this was the one church service I decided to attend to see if God had anything to say to me about this whole thing. Isn't that amazing? This is a true story. And he realized that's just like God. Unfortunately, you'd rather have your comfort than live where God would have you live. You'd rather have things pretty well put together so that you can sort of anticipate what's coming without too many surprises. Ah, what a shame. What a tragic way to live. You never really know for sure if you're where you ought to be, since you've taken it all by sight instead of living it by faith. All of this provides us with the perfect segue into the Lord our God. Speaking of whom, let me tell you, there is one favorite technique, it seems to me, more than any other that our God loves to do, and that is surprises. He loves surprises because he knows what is best for us, not what will make us feel most comfortable, not what we might enjoy the most. He's not about our comfort or our enjoyment. He's not an entertaining bellboy waiting for our phone call. He is our sovereign God, knowing what is best and therefore rearranging our lives so that we are kept wondering what he's going to do next. Surprises. Think of several of them with me. Okay, here we go. The world is evil. Things are getting out of control. Every thought of a man's heart is evil continually. Genesis 6:5. And the Lord breaks in, looks for a righteous man, finds him in Noah, and he says, Noah, build an ark. Ark? Why? I'm going to bring rain. Rain? What's rain? Some of you don't know it, but it never rained before the flood. Noah had never seen rain. The earth was watered from within. In the pre-diluvial civilization, no rain fell from heaven. This was a setting that was unlike anything you and I've ever known. And the Lord said, I'm going to flood the earth, all the earth, completely. That's a surprise. So surprising that no matter how long it took Noah to build the ark, no matter how many times he must have told the neighbors, I'm telling you, destruction and doom are coming if you don't get on this ark with us. And they didn't get on. They're not interested in that. They got stuff. They got life made. Then a flood came. When Moses led the people of the Hebrews out of Egypt, they came ultimately under Joshua's leadership to a place called Jericho. Tough place. Those Canaanites are like junkyard dogs. And here are these Hebrews who have been nomads for 40 years, and they've been laying bricks before then. They're not fighters. And they come upon this huge wall. What are they going to do? They couldn't scale it. They couldn't break through it. What are they going to do? And the Lord says, I got a plan. Okay, listen to me. I want you to march around the wall one time a day for 6 days. Okay, march around the wall one time for 6 days. All right. And the seventh day, I want you to walk around it seven times. Okay, walk around seven times. Then I want you to scream. You're kidding. Nope. Blow the trumpets and stand back. Why? Because the walls are going to fall. Can you imagine guys in the back ranks that got worried about that? You know, Joshua says we're supposed to march around this thing. We march around seven times. We get there, it's going to fall down. What? That's no surprise. God loves doing what you and I could never predict. How about when they were choosing kings and they were selecting them that were tall, dark, and handsome? One of them was named Saul. All the nations had kings. And the Lord says, I'm fed up with tall, dark, and handsome. So he goes out in the field and he finds a 17-year-old boy keeping his father's sheep. And he says, here, come here. You got the job. He became the greatest king in the history of the Hebrews, named David. What a surprise. Who would have ever expected, not even his own father, thought of bringing David in for Samuel to look at him? Oh, I've got one more son. Yeah. God, he's out in the field. Brings him in. Next thing David knows, he's got warm oil running down the back of his neck. And he hears words like, king. Total surprise. How about Jonah? How's that? Lord said, go to Nineveh, preach, and I'm gonna deal with them. Jonah goes, oh no, you're kidding me. So he takes off in the opposite direction. You know what happened? There's a great fish that comes and swallows Jonah. It's such a surprise, cynics laugh at the book of Jonah. Yeah, I don't care whether they laugh at it or not. I'd believe it if Jonah swallowed the great fish, if God says it that way. But the great fish swallows Jonah and performs the first amphibious landing in the history of time, right there at Nineveh. Why? Because Jonah wouldn't go any other way. What a surprise. When Daniel wouldn't bow before King Nebuchadnezzar, I could go on and on with these stories. They found out about it, and they sent him to the lion's den. And last time I checked, a lion's den is a treacherous place to wind up. And they had the worst case of lockjaw in their entire existence. I like the way Vernon McGee refers to it. The reason they couldn't eat him, because he was three-fourths gristle and the rest backbone. That was Daniel. Surprise, 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 surprise. How long will it take us to realize God is into surprises? I want you to take a quick look into Acts chapter 20 before we turn to the other two sections. Right after the Gospels, those are the first four books of the New Testament, you will find the book of Acts, which is a history of how God first reached out to the world at large using his followers called the apostles, the disciples. Look at Acts 20, verse 18, if you will. The one in question here is the Apostle Paul, and he is leaving the friends of his who were the elders from the church at Ephesus. They have come to meet him, and when they came, we read, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and with trials, which came upon me through the plots of the Jews." Keep reading. "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." And now? Well, they're thinking he's going to keep on doing the same thing. He's been doing it with great effectiveness, though there have been trials at each place. But now there's a surprise ahead. Bound in spirit, "I am on my way to Jerusalem." They must have sucked in their breath, knowing he was a wanted man. "I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." He's going, but not knowing what is in front of him. Now, admittedly, Paul is the missionary type. And being of pioneer spirit, that sort of thing energized him. He did say this, "Except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me." Well, Paul, that's enough reason not to go. Doesn't it make sense that you not go? Oh, on the contrary. "The Spirit of God is leading me to go." And there's real controversy over this section. Some scholars argue, should he have gone? Others are saying, well, of course, it was clearly directed by the Spirit of God. But look at what happens, exactly what the Lord told him would happen. Again, another set of surprises. But it would take those arrests in Jerusalem ultimately to get him in front of Nero, which was his goal, to stand before the emperor and testify of Christ, which is another story. "I'm on my way not knowing where I am going." All of this is an ideal backdrop to the life we are studying. A man named Abraham who is getting up in years. Turn to Acts 7. And by the way, you who were not with us last time we were together for this study missed out on the outline or the chart that I had put together. And I had placed it on the opposite side of the outline for you to see the life of Abraham in one sitting. You can look through it and follow along with it. We are right now at the very beginning of his life, and you'll notice at the top left corner of the chart, as you hold it horizontally, I mention Acts 7. That's why I want you to look right now at this section. Acts 7, Stephen speaks, "Hear me, brethren," verse 2, "hear me, brethren and fathers." These are Jews who are about to stone him. He says, "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham," that's our man, "when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran." That's important. So before he moves to Haran, while he is living as an idolater in Ur of the Chaldeans in Mesopotamia, the Lord appears to him and said to him, verse 3, "Leave your country and your relatives, and come into the land that I will show you." And please observe, he is led to an uncertain destination. It originated in a secure setting. It started with a clear command, and he's been led now to where he doesn't know. Look at those words in Hebrews 11. He was going, but not knowing where he was going to wind up. He was going, but not knowing.
You're listening to Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll titled his message, "Going, Not Knowing." It's part of the new biographical series called Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. To access the CDs for the series or the downloadable audio files, go to insightworld.org/store. Perhaps you're listening today, mulling over the mystery of your own journey. Maybe you're in a place where, like Abraham, you don't know what the next day holds. But you're moving ahead one day at a time, going not knowing. Well, we encourage you to keep listening to this broadcast series. And in the event you want to hear Chuck's messages in advance of the daily programs, you can purchase the downloadable audio files or the CDs. Again, the series is titled Abraham, One Nomad's Amazing Journey of Faith. You'll find all 22 messages and related resources at insight.org/store. Throughout the month of October, you've heard me describe one of our favorite annual traditions. I'm referring to the exclusive calendar created by Insight for Living Ministries. Well, tomorrow is the deadline to request this resource, and we encourage you to get in touch today. The 2018 theme is My Little Children Love One Another. The inspiration comes from a verse in 1 John 3:18 that says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions." Each month features a colorful real-life photograph that clearly illustrates how members of the church body reach out to their community with the love of Christ. It includes monthly scripture verses and, of course, plenty of room to keep track of your personal schedule as well. And it's yours when you give a donation of any amount to support the ministry of Insight for Living. So give a contribution and request the 2018 WOW calendar right now. If you're listening in the U.S., call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. If you prefer to write, our address is Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. This offer ends tomorrow, so give us a call right now while there's still time. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or go to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Chuck Swindoll continues his study on the life of Abraham tomorrow, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Going Not Knowing, was copyrighted in 2012 and 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.